Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Do something different today. Jake Plummer is going to Skype in from his home in Boulder, Colorado. Jake and I have been talking offline about a project that he's working on that actually I think has legs to it. And Jake is now moving into this role of businessman, entrepreneur, and putting together a program. If you are a high school or college or even pro assistant coach or head coach, first of all, why are you watching me at 10 o'clock in the morning? That's one. But two, you can see what Jake is now doing. It's a program for offensive players on the football field that is really terrific, that Jake is backing and Jake is fully into. So we'll talk with Jake Plummer. It's about what he's working on, this venture. And I think it's something that if you're a coach or you want to see if your players really know what they're doing at their positions, that Jake is somebody you're going to want to hear. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. Beyond that, it's a wide open show today, which I like. This is one of those days where Tony Romo is going to be said over and over and over again, to the point of ad nauseum. But I do think it's important today to point this out. It is the legal tampering period. Now people can make calls in the NFL, and they, if they haven't already, which of course they have, and they can get away with it. And for the Cardinals, it means Tony Jefferson and Calais Campbell are leaving. So who is coming back? Do the Cardinals have money to burn in free agency? I believe that they do. You can always look at a number and say, well, of course they do, but you have to factor in, if you are Steve Keim, where you're going with that money, not just this year, but next year and beyond that, and who's got it all tied up. Again, the Cardinals, I am of the opinion, can be a bounce-back team this coming season. If Robert Kimdiche gives them a sniff at all, I'm not saying he's an improvement over Calais Campbell. Calais has been very, very good. And one thing I hate in the world of sports is when a player leaves, it doesn't matter if it's pro, college, or even high school. Once they leave, that there are teams that will say, well, we really didn't need him, and we're better off with this guy. No. And I'm not saying that's the case with the Cardinals, but let's not sit here and say, well, you know, Calais was this or Calais was that, or Tony Jefferson was this or Tony Jefferson were that. This is business. I am happy for those two guys to score big money. Okay, this whole idea of it's got to be about the team and we're going to leave money on the table because the team and we expect to still be a Cardinal for the rest of our career. Come on, that's silly. These players have a limited window, and Calais Campbell and Tony Jefferson have earned the right, and they have every right to go out and sign big money and to say goodbye to Arizona. They have every right to do that, and I hope they do. It sounds like they're going to go out and score big money. If they were to stay here, sure, that would be fine. That would be great. On that side of the football, those are two big losses. Cannot underestimate that. But, okay, then let's move forward. Let's turn the page. Those two are going to leave in all likelihood. So then Robert Kimdiche, okay, you've been on scholarship for a year. You couldn't get your tie tied. Now get your tie tied and get out on the field and actually be productive. DJ Humphreys, you've been on scholarship for about a year and a half. You showed some stuff last season, but really you haven't. So here's the last two first-round picks of the Arizona Cardinals that have not done anything or much of anything. And look, that's in the talent acquisition business. You've got to have that production come through. Now, on the quarterback front, I don't want the Cardinals to go get Tony Romo. That produces lots of clicks on websites, but I don't think that's reality. He hasn't been released yet. It's weird that he hasn't been released. Like, I thought today we'd be sitting here the first day of free agency is really Thursday, but today's the day they can start tampering and doing all that. I would have thought by now that Tony Romo would have been the player that had already come to grips with Jerry Jones, because there's this mutual admiration society, and that they would have already worked something out. Now, is it, we don't want you to go to the Washington Redskins if Kirk Cousins gets traded to the San Francisco 49ers, as one scenario has been out there for the last few days? Like, what's going on in Washington? Their general manager of the Redskins did not go to the combine because his grandmother passed away 45 days ago, and he still can't get to the combine. And they extended their head coach while this is happening, and Kirk Cousins has got them over a barrel and a half. There are times when I look at sports and say, you cannot script this stuff. you're the GM of, if I get family tragedy and emergency, I have had to deal with loss of life. But if you're the general manager of a team, I'm just going to watch the combine at home. Of course you are. So can I. So can Eric. We can all sit and watch the combine from home. It's part of the deal. It's a business where you've got to go out and work through some tough stuff. That's Washington's problem.
No big cuts in terms of like Tony Romo-esque names, although the artist formerly known as the San Diego Chargers did release DJ Fluker and Brandon Flowers, two pretty good players.
Pretty good players.
But not elite level.
No, Tony Romo has been this 800-pound elephant in the room.
Yeah, they need to just do something.
For the last 45 days.
Just do something.
That's been the lead NFL quarterback story. And once he goes, then it's, okay, where does he end up? Are the Cowboys and Jerry Jones saying, you're not going to go to San Francisco. You're not going to go to Washington. We don't want you to go to an NFC team. Yes, you can go to Kansas City, knock yourself out. You can go to Cleveland and get knocked out. You can go anywhere but teams within the NFC, or maybe it's the NFC East.
And I wonder if we're going to see, Brad, a domino effect with either Cousins or Romo, sort of like we see in the draft when a team takes one position or one specific player, and then we kind of see a run on those same position type athletes.
Well, look, I think the most interesting NFL story, no offense to Calais Campbell or Tony Jefferson or what's going on in Arizona as I do a show from Scottsdale, but that's not the most interesting NFL situation. If Tony Romo goes to, let's say, the Denver Broncos, that's John Elway saying, I got this figured out. It's John Elway saying Paxton Lynch isn't ready. It's John Elway saying, Trevor Siemian, you can go somewhere else now. Thank you very much. That, to me, is more interesting, and especially when you look at the numbers that Denver has tied up in Von Miller and Demaryius Thomas and Aqib Talib. They've got money tied up. Now, what if he goes to the Texans? That means that you sat there as an organization a year ago, and you completely, totally whiffed on Brock Osweiler. Like, you had no idea what you were doing to commit to so much money. And that John Elway had every idea of what you guys were doing down there.
Well, and they just bought into the sample size. It was way too small, as last year proved. But, the quarterback is such a need position, and teams will just trip over themselves and overspend to try to fill that void.
Well, so then you go over to Dallas. So as long as Tony Romo is still on that roster, it's not Dak Prescott's team, really. There's still going to be somewhere out there, there's somebody saying, I want to see Tony Romo. See, Dak Prescott, he's having the sophomore slump. Whatever it may be, with the time that he has a bad game, as long as Tony Romo's still a Cowboy. So all this is really interesting to me, like the business side of how a team is built and put together. This time of year, to me, is far more interesting than the sausage that's being made on the field in September and October, and around the second, third week in November, things really get heated up because it's a war of attrition. These teams know they've got to make it through somehow these games and the worthless stuff in August, but you've got to make it through the early parts of the season. The Cardinals can say, well, yeah, we didn't make the playoffs because the first game of the season we gagged on special teams. They can say that, and that was part of it. But that's not the main reason why they didn't make it. It's part of the equation. You're not going to get an ace out of the postseason in September. You're not. So this to me is, and how you juggle the cap and how teams that think they've got it all figured out, that's one side that I'm interested in. After the show is over, I'm heading to Las Vegas. I'm going to be up there doing the show the next 3 days. Thanks to our friends over at Columbus Craft Meats. Appreciate Columbus and their support of what we do here at sports360az.com through the years, and being our title sponsor, being in Vegas. There's some interesting things around Arizona State and Arizona in the last 24 hours. The Sun Devil fans are all worked up that Torian Graham didn't make the all-conference team, second team, or even honorable mention. Sorry to tell you that when you don't win and win big, it's not happening. One, two, there's a lot of very good shooters in the league. I don't care how much somebody scores. That doesn't equate to being worthy of being a first team or second team. It just doesn't. And then the flip side for U of A is, are they the first half team that we saw in Tempe on Saturday afternoon where they weren't very good and ASU had the lead and ASU played very well? Or are they the team that figured it out for the rest of their season? And that was sort of the peaking process for them as they roll through up in Vegas. Either way, the winner of the U of A-UCLA game, there's going to be they have the momentum. The loser of that game, there's going to be this narrative of, well, they're really, they got knocked out in the semis. Guys, there's three of the top 10 teams, in my opinion, in the nation that are sitting here in the Pac-12, Oregon, Arizona, UCLA. So I'm not going to get too high or too low off this unless one of those teams or any of those teams do not make it through Thursday. If any of those teams get knocked out early, that's a bad sign. But if you end up losing in the conference semis to another top 10 team, you can't hold that over somebody's head.
Yeah, for me, momentum has nothing to do with conference tournaments. It has everything to do with March Madness. You could go through and roll through your conference tournament and have one bad half in either the round of 32 or even the first round, and you're out. But if you get hot during the tournament, you usually see that carrying through the tournament.
You're not going to Vegas this year, are you?
I'm not. No. Nope. I got really sick there last year.
Next year.
I was not told by my boss that I was going this year, so I'm not going.
Next year, what are we going to do next year with GCU up there?
We're just going to camp out for, 10 days?
Because the WAC tournament is earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So next year, and I think ASU is going to be a bubble team for the tournament next year.
I agree.
I think that Bobby's coached his ass off this year. He's done such a
good
job.
They've played hard with no size and no depth.
No size, no depth. And these aren't really his players top to bottom.
Well, two of them that he recruited are gone already,
yeah,
but that happens.
But it's the I was already looking ahead at next year and thinking, well, how are we going to do this? Does one of us go up for 5 days? If we stay in Vegas and do like 10 days of shows next year, because Grand Canyon in the WAC, their first time eligible to go to the NCAA tournament, got to cover that. U of A is going to be there. Got to cover that.
Yep.
We think ASU is going to be much better next season. Got to cover that. It's all in Vegas, so there's no reason why we can't just ship this. I don't know. Do we talk to Vaquero and say, look, we just want to go South Point and have 2 weeks of doing shows? I that might be the way to go. But it's an exciting time for sure. All right, Jake Plummer, standing by via Skype. That's on the other side. Jake's new project that he's involved in. I think for the football fan, pro, college, high school, you'll be very interested to see this. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Joined now by Jake Plummer. Always good to catch up with the great Sun Devil and Arizona Cardinal quarterback. Jake is involved in so many different things. Now, this is cool to see that his post-NFL on-the-field life has turned out on so many cool projects. He joins us. You're in Boulder, right?
Yes.
In Boulder. So ReadyListPro.com, if I were to sum it up, you sum it up, 30-second elevator pitch, what is ReadyListPro.com that you're working on?
All right. The ReadyListPro was developed by a quarterback friend of mine named Chad Freehoff, who bounced around from team to team, was given a playbook, 4 inches thick, and said, memorize this. So he came up with the concept similar to Rosetta Stone, where you can study your playbook, and then from the playbook, randomized tests are formed. So not only can you study, you can go right into a section on the program that will test you immediately. You can take the test over and over and over. All that data is sent to your coaches. So we're hoping it ups the rate of efficient studying. Retention rates go up. Mental errors on the field go down. You win more games. There's my 30-second pitch.
That's pretty good. And that was right at 30 seconds. All right, so now let's just drill down and take some time on this. So for a high school, college, you've met with colleges, you've met with ASU, U of A, you've met with high schools here in Arizona. Some have signed up. What do you see as the benefit for them? Because this isn't just quarterbacks, right?
No, currently it's for offense, for the whole offense. Quarterbacks, most likely out of the group of players, would benefit the most. from studying the playbook and taking the tests. That way they would know what every all the 10 other guys on the field, what their responsibilities are. The thought behind this was, you know, when, like I said, when you're given a playbook, some kids are good at studying. Some kids know how to study or even watching film. Some kids watch a lot of film on huddle, but are they really watching and learning and focusing on the right things? A lot of kids, they don't know that, even football players that have played for a long time. So our program, the ReadyList Pro, puts it all in one spot. Coaches can embed videos of cutups of themselves doing a chalk talk about, you know, play one and day one installation. They can make notes on the device, whichever device they're using. That's another great thing about our product. It's device neutral, and it's a subscription as a service. So teams will sign up, they get 100 accounts, and offensively, right now we just have the offense done. They can go in and install their whole playbook, give the kids a chance to, you know, study while they're at school or when they're at home on their devices. These kids nowadays spend so much time in front of a screen that if they're spending, you know, 10 minutes every few hours taking a test on their offense on day one installation, this should allow coaches to not only feel rest easier knowing their players are getting it or understanding the offense, but also expand on their offense and do more things. And ultimately, we hope that, you know, ends up in more wins for coaches, more efficiency, more accountability on the players' parts, and ultimately, you know, get these kids ready to get out on the field and not just play one position, but be ready to fill in if they're needed at another position.
Okay, so here's the funny part about this, Jake. I showed ReadyList Pro to some people, some football people, and they said, well, how safe and secure is this? Because if this falls into the opposition's hands, this could be death to a program. Now, you guys have got that figured out, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, and, you know, there's a lot of drama surrounding, you know, death to a program. You know, I mean, I don't think that, you know, for example, Chip Lindsey and his offense, it's not some revolutionary offense that no one else in the world is running, but it is his offense. It's his conception, his concepts and everything put together. So there is a secure company called Armor that's securing everything. Being cloud-based, you know, that is one thing about security we are addressing constantly and making sure coaches can rest easy and rest assured that their stuff is safe in the cloud. So, yeah, that is a concern, but we have a great company out of Overland Park, Kansas, called CD2 Learning that is a lot larger than the, you know, a college program. They're dealing with humongous corporations, testing protocols, and that information also is very important to keep secure. So we've got all that in place.
Okay, so on the security end, you touched on that. Let's shift over now. What has been the feedback here in state? You've signed up some schools. Can you even talk about the schools you've signed up with and who you've met with here in state? Because I think it would really help out people to know that this is going to take off. This is big time.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great feedback. You know, me, I'm more the guy that got our foot in the door, get it in front of some coaches. We've been in front of coaches like Hugh Jackson with Cleveland. He helped let us use it at the Senior Bowl. Davis Webb loved it, came from an air raid system and style offense. In his words, it helped him know where to go with the ball with only a few days of studying. So that was a big boost for us. Numerous other NFL teams are right on the cusp of finding a way to incorporate it into their offseason program as a test run and hopefully then implement it and use it during the season. We've been obviously to ASU, University of Montana, Colorado School of Mines, CSU, to name just a few teams that have the program in and have been playing around with it. Some local high schools here in Colorado. In Arizona, we've had great response from Chandler, Castile, Basha, just the one, you know, Chandler School District that my old buddy Marcus Williams is in charge of there as the AD. So we're just kind of slowly branching out, getting teams to use it. Hamilton also has it in, Coach Bellas. So there's some teams that are definitely interested. I think that anyone out there that is frustrated by the lack of time you get to practice with kids, the lack of ability to expand on an offense, or even have kids that are real knowledgeable about the game of football, this program is really made for that. It not only contains your playbook so kids can study, but it holds them accountable. It gives them an opportunity to test themselves and know exactly what they're doing. So they go to bed that night before practice on day one installation getting 100%, and those results get sent to your coaches. So then coaches know, hey, our guys are getting it. And, you know, as a football team, the best thing to be able to do is to play fast. And then to steal a term from Mark Trestman, who also likes the program, to play with a quiet mind, you know, to be quiet in your mind out there, just know what you're doing and be fast, play fast. And so that's what we're hoping to accomplish with this. It's very reasonable as far as cost goes. We're you know, bootstrapping it right now as an organization and a program or a company, and getting, you know, the teams that we know locally, not only in Arizona, but in Colorado, Idaho, and getting these kids up to speed. So it's a lot of fun. And any team out there that's interested, you can go to www.readylistpro.com, sign up for a demo. We'll give you a demo and then hope we can help you, you know, get these kids that you're coaching to play fast.
Good stuff as always, Jake. Look forward to seeing you when you're back down here in the Valley. Come on into the studio. We'll get caught up. Thanks.
Right on. Hey, thank you, Brad. Take care.
Always good to catch up with Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer there, ReadyListPro.com. Something interesting that he's working. I really like what this concept and checking out and talking with Jake about it. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Thanks again to Jake Plummer. So Charles Barkley weighed in on Lonzo Ball's dad. Eric, do you think I should try to find LeVar Ball up there?
Well, you could try to find him. Just make sure that you find him. Make sure that it's him.
Don't ask
you. You may have to, like, excuse me, are you Mr.
Funny.
Ball? Yes, I am. Okay, I'll need to see two forms of valid ID, picture ID. He will definitely be there.
If you missed this, ESPN misidentified Lonzo Ball's dad when they had the UCLA-U of A game. And we're going to have this interview coming up after the break. Well, that really wasn't, we were misinformed. I could go find one of those guys in the streets. You know, they have those mimes and those in person, the guys that do the impressions. I could find one of those guys in the street and say, can you be LeVar Ball's dad? LeVar Ball, actually.
Yeah.
Sit with me, Lonzo's
sure.
dad. No, he'll be there, I would think. We're doing the show tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 tournament. And so Charles decided to get involved. Well, I don't know if he decided, but somebody asked him about Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar. And if you missed it, Lonzo, according to his dad, is going to be better than Steph Curry. Okay. And so Charles decided to weigh in on this. Now, it was a written interview. Otherwise, we'd bring you the video. The next time we have Charles on, if it's in the next, it's probably about time to get him in. We do it 2-3 times a year. Quote, just because you say some bleep doesn't make it right, Barkley told the Sporting News. He's going to be better than Steph Curry, question mark. That's what he said. Steph Curry has won a couple of MVPs. He's pretty good. Man, let me tell you something. That's the AAU bleep. You can't say a guy is going to be better than Steph Curry, a guy who's played 30 college games. I know you could be proud of your son, but at some point it becomes stupidity. Lonzo Ball said it's not distracting. Tonight, when I'm in Las Vegas, there'll be a media session where we're allowed to, you know, sit and visit with Bobby Hurley and the teams that play tomorrow. So tomorrow, at some point tomorrow, Steve Alford will be brought in and Sean Miller will be brought in, and we'll be in all those. But you've got to believe that the media circus around Lonzo Ball is going to start to really, really ramp up. That's not a shock. That's not a big surprise. I mean, Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar, if UCLA makes it here to Glendale, he could be one of those guys that sits there and try, like Pete Rose. He set up a little booth. I'll sign autographs. You want to take pictures with me?
That'll cost you.
I'm sure that stuff's already been happening to him because he's become a celebrity. Maybe it's a celebrity in his own mind. But he's become a celebrity.
Well, it's one of those things where the parent is leeching on to the child, and he's using...
Wow, leeching.
Well, he's using Lonzo's fame to elevate his own status, and this isn't the first time we've seen something like this happen.
It's kind of harsh,
no,
isn't he, just
no.
being a dad?
No.
Using, leeching?
You have a skilled, gifted, young child who will likely turn out to be a very good athlete in basketball or water polo or football.
Are you talking about me?
No, your son.
Oh, my son?
Your son, Cole, who is at the ripe old age of 9?
12.
12, whatever. Close enough. You are not going on platforms and grandstanding for your child. Granted, your child is not Lonzo Ball.
No.
However, if you wanted to start the PR stream at an early age, you could.
That's true. Okay. So what was the difference with Richard Williams, Serena's dad? So the difference I see in Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar, is to this point, Richard Williams was just despised. Go back and look at when Venus first came out. And there were instances where he would yell that her little sister's even better. And he brought all the attention on himself. Now, was that smart to take all the distraction away? Was Earl Woods out front of Tiger Woods? Dads are going to be part of the process. Todd Marinovich's dad, Marv Marinovich, was out front of his son. We know how that train wreck ended up.
How about the father of the star high school basketball player who no longer plays in Arizona but plays at a school in Southern California and who will likely be in the NBA in a couple of years?
Okay, so Marvin Bagley's dad was over the top.
Yes.
But, no, he was. And you know, I was the first one that walked in here and was like, this guy, but he never came up to me and said, hey, my son's the greatest. He never came up to those that were out at games and said that. He acted in a way, though, that was not, in my opinion, conducive to an environment that I would have wanted my kid around any way, shape, or form.
Or any of Bagley's teammates. I mean, it's just a distraction.
Well, there's a reason why Sammy Duane's not a Corona anymore. But that's, I think, even the head coach was like, I don't need and the kid was a good kid and a good student.
A very good kid. A very well-liked, normal kid.
Yes, and a good student and all that stuff. But so I don't see where this dad that was here and Lonzo Ball's dad are in the same boat. Now, I will tell you that Bagley's got a little brother who's supposedly better than him, okay? Now, how do I know this stuff? You're around club guys, and they talk all this stuff. And me, I'm just kind of like, I do not want to hear this. I do not want to hear this. I've heard this over and over for 30 years. You are full of it. Just let it go. Or you can sit with some kids who are going to be at that highest of high level, and their dads are pretty darn normal and pretty sane about the whole process. There are dads that love it, okay? I think, you know, if Lonzo Ball fizzes out, and first of all, the Suns have completely crapped the bed here in the last week, but that's their deal. Second of all, if Lonzo Ball doesn't turn into a great NBA player, is it going to fall back on the dad?
Sure.
You think?
Sure. Lonzo Ball's not going around telling everyone how great he is.
No.
We as viewers and college basketball fans, up until 3 or 4 weeks ago, were just enjoying the marvel of Lonzo Ball. And then Lonzo Ball's dad opened his mouth, and now to me, the water is a little bit muddy, Brad. I mean, I don't want to hear from the dad. Just let me enjoy March Madness. Let me see how far this freshman phenom can take this storied program in the NCAA tournament. But it's not going to be like that.
But I'll tell you.
You know why? Because we need clicks and we need eyeballs.
No, I get it.
We need controversy.
I get it. But here's the other side of this. LaMelo Ball scored 92 in a game.
Kind of. Watch the YouTube. Yeah. Just watch the game on YouTube.
You showed me some.
Just watch it.
So he scores all these points, and now you have that side of it and the dad's quote of, I turned him loose in the second half. You know, I wasn't big on that quote. You don't turn kids loose. So there's that.
Yeah, he turned him loose to not play defense.
But then comes the comments he made about Lonzo. So he's had two, in my opinion, two moments where, in my mind, there's strikes against him. They could be stepping in it. You know that wherever UCLA goes in March Madness, those regions where they go, he's going to be the number one story. And Charles now has weighed in on it. The Washington Post picked up Charles' comments and wrote about it in the Washington Post, some kid out in Los Angeles. You know it's coming with the New York Times. You know that it's coming. They've already done it with ESPN. They misidentified the guy, which is just crazy.
Yeah, so, Lonzo Ball's dad, Brad, is going to be the guy that goes to...
Wears us out.
Well, the team arrives 2 days before at the venue they're going to play. And then the day before they play, they have these open workouts where fans can go watch them. Lonzo Ball will be right there, right by where the media is, right by courtside. So when all the TV cameras come in, he'll be available for B-roll and interviews as Lonzo is practicing on the court behind him.
Do you hate him?
No.
See, I don't either. I think, look, if I see him in Vegas and say, why don't you come on over and sit down, put on some headphones, why are you doing this is going to be my first question. That would be it. Isn't this over the top? And he's going to say things along the lines of, I'm protecting my son, because he said this stuff. Do you need to dial it back? Have you had agents advise you on this? He'll say no, because it would be a violation if he said yes. In my mind, he's had agents advise him on this. I mean, I've seen this stuff enough. He's got people that he's created the interest in his son. That's half the battle with the draft. Creating the interest, creating the buzz, so you get these crazy owners that are willing to do practically anything to take the kid on their terms.
But he didn't have to.
He didn't have to, but Eric, he's never been in this space. I don't know if asking Richard Williams, you regret how you handled Venus and Serena. Well, they've turned out great, and they made millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yep.
Did Richard Williams need to stand up and say, and her little sister's better than she is?
Well, and also with the Williams, they all play with a chip on their shoulder, not just because of their dad, but from where they grew up and where they came from.
That's a good point.
In the hard-edged Compton, California lifestyle. I mean, yeah. They were practicing on courts as there was gunfire in the background. So,
has he done anything? Has Lonzo Ball's dad, I'll get off this in a second, but I think it's interesting here. Has he said anything that any dad isn't thinking?
Yes.
Well, when he referred to his son playing in Los Angeles for Magic Johnson, and he's a point guard.
It's fine.
I didn't have a problem with that.
But I don't think most dads think, wow, my kid's going to be better than Steph Curry when he gets to the NBA.
His line, one of his quotes recently is, I tell my boys all the time, someone has to be better than Jordan. Why not you? You got everything, everything. We give them everything because of the work they put in. They don't take off holidays, no Christmas, nothing, end quote. Ball has been thinking big ever since his sons were little, and the family has its own apparel brand. They have their own apparel line. Big Baller Sports and Triple B logo. They have their own logo. Now, is this a guy that looked at it very early on and said, we've got a brand here that we can go out and just kill it and slaughter it, and I got three kids that are going to make it in the NBA. Why can't I be Nike or Adidas? Why can't I go do my own thing? Is he just being an entrepreneur and his kids are part of the entrepreneurial process? I think that there's something to this. I'm not saying everything he said is right, but there's some things that he said that I happen to agree with. For Lonzo Ball to be with Magic Johnson, are you kidding me? That would take his career to a whole new level. I don't know if Magic Johnson's going to be a better guy at his job than Larry Bird was when he came in as a GM. I don't know that. If the Lakers end up with all the Ball brothers, could I see Lonzo Ball's dad trying to do that? I think Charles is right in what he said, but I'm trying to understand where LeVar Ball's coming from, and about 20% I agree with, 80% I don't. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but I'm trying to find him in Vegas. I think it'd be fun. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We are back with more. The Suns are in play tonight with our buddy, our pal, Markieff Morris is in town tonight. And some other things that are on my mind, too. NFL free agency tampering period is underway and much more. Tom Brady's doing some interesting things, and I'll get over to the Suns in a second. So Tom Brady is starting to set up his life after football. He's starting to line up these companies. Remember he did the workout deal, workout equipment. He did a cookbook. I read somewhere that he did a bag of nuts. Darren Rovell put out this morning that Tom Brady is entering into the prepared meal subscription business. A plant-based meal company, Purple Carrot, it's in Massachusetts, announced a partnership with Tom Brady today. A line of TB12 meals that follow Brady's rigid diet. So the company started selling the meals Tuesday morning at $78 per week. Six meals, $78, a $10 premium over the regular meal. Now, hey, honey. We're gonna do everything Tom Brady. We're gonna right down to we're going to eat Tom Brady's meals. My wife was telling me there's a family at our church, and they've got five kids, and they're all named after quarterbacks. There's like Warner, and there's like five kids, five boys, and they're all named after quarterbacks in the NFL. It's fine. It's fine. People like to have fun with it. That's their big passion. That's their passion bucket. It's the way it goes. I don't know if having Tom Brady's meals delivered to my house, what are we having from TB12 tonight, dear? Well, from Purple Carrot, we are going to have Tom's meals that have high protein, gluten-free, limited in soy and refined sugar. None of the meals have dairy. None of them have eggs. None of them have seafood. None of them have meat. And none of them have processed foods.
That sounds horrible. Who would want to eat that?
Sample meals include a ramen bowl with charred broccolini.
Yum.
What is broccolini? It's Carly like, would know this one.
It's like a cousin of broccoli, I guess. Have you ever seen a purple carrot, by the way?
I've not.
They have them, yeah. Yep, they do make them.
Gingered amaranth.
Or grow them, I should say. I don't know what that is.
Does your wife know this?
She would, but I don't.
Crispy turnip cakes.
Well, that's pretty self-explanatory.
No, it's nasty. Quinoa. My wife's all into quinoa.
Oh,
my wife's trying to get me to do quinoa all the time. I'm like, it's cardboard designed as rice. Quinoa tabbouleh and za'atar. If you can't pronounce it, usually it's not good.
There has to be a kale dish on there.
Za'atar yogurt. No, I want yogurt that's got like fruit in the bottom. That's it.
Or of the frozen variety.
You're right. Purple Carrot has adopted the phrase, quote, eat like a goat. A double meaning that references a goat's plant-based diet. So if you're going to eat like a goat, goats eat shoestrings. I've seen goats eat shoestrings in petting zoos. I worked at a zoo. Goats eat grass. Roughly 75% of those that order are female. Of course they are. Brady's endorsement could be a huge boost to the brand competing in the crowded meal kit space. $2 billion market. Blue tablecloth is one of those too, I've heard. Would you ever do that? Order a home-based, like, deliver meals to the house thing?
No. My wife is a retired chef. Why would I do that?
She's retired already?
Well, she's not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, she could jump back into the
she
space.
Could. But she could.
I can't see, like, the guy, the Schwan's truck would show up, right? And you walk out to the Schwan's truck, and he gives you 10 steaks.
A little less nutritious than what is happening here with purple carrot guy Tom Brady.
Would you invest in this? Go buy some stock because Tom Brady's name is on it?
Anything that Tom Brady touches usually turns
out
like that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Except for his missing Super Bowl jersey.
But it's a Massachusetts thing. So is this like this East Coast? No.
Well, if you're going to launch it, Brad, where else would you start?
No dairy. No eggs at all. No seafood. Like I love salmon. No meat. I'm fine with no processed
foods. Where are you getting your protein in these meals?
Chicken.
Is there chicken?
It doesn't show that there's chicken, but it says there's none of. I mean, crispy turnip cakes cannot have a whole lot of protein.
No.
What makes them crispy? Anyways, this is something that you see guys do endorsements all the time, but it's not often you see Tom Brady setting up his post-NFL life with things like this. Like Fitz, I'm sure Fitz is going to have some interesting endorsement opportunities. That might even be a good thing to talk to Larry about next time I get him is tell me about the goofy stuff people have come up to you and said, hey, you have millions and millions of dollars. Why don't you throw it into this company? Do you go like to a hotel ballroom and they walk in one after the next like Shark Tank and say, we have these shoes. These are the greatest shoes ever. They have this clothing line. The sports bar stuff I get, but Tom Brady and home-delivered meals. So, Suns play Markieff Morris tonight. I'm going to go throw some money on this game just for fun. And because I'm in the Lonzo Ball sweepstake, even with his crazy dad, I'm all in on the Suns.
Well, and it's
tonight.
Also the return of Marcin Gortat, one of my favorite former Suns.
Serious?
Yeah, I liked him.
He's got a good sense of humor.
He does. And he was an underrated player for the Suns.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that.
He's having a good post-Suns career with the Wiz.
All right. Well, let's get out of here because I got to go to Vegas. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now. We have our TV show tonight that is on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 14 airings of that bad boy.
The first one's at 5:30, shameless plug.
5:30 tonight.
And then I think it's on at 6.
And then it's on after the Suns game.
And then it's on tomorrow morning.
It's
lots
on
of opportunities.
1:30 in the morning. I have people tell me they watch the 1:30 in the morning show.
It's a very popular segment.
Is that like Sam the Cooking Guy or something? Buy knives or watch Sesame. Thanks for being with us.